Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
Welcome to Perfect Will, your first place podcast for your Miami Dolphins. Presented by BetOnline.ag. I am Sam Marcoux, and he is still, once again, and forever, the two-time Hall of Famer. And of course, I'm talking about the good doctor himself, Dr. Christopher Colon. Doctor, how in the hell are you, my friend?
Doing good, all things considered. Dolphins are not playing this weekend, but the Chiefs and 49ers are. That's right, is Super Bowl weekend coming up. Excited for me. I have a three-day work. I have a three-day weekend with no work. I took Monday off, as I do every year. With the hopes of it being a Dolphin celebration. I'll end up calling out the rest of the week because I'm going to the parade. Here we are again. No, I'll just call out Monday, so that means I can at least get shit-faced on Sunday, eat some wings, eat some Rotel, and enjoy the football festivities. And Usher, good, happy for Usher. It's going to be a good weekend. So for a football fan, it's the last weekend of football, Sam, so I'm going to try to enjoy it. How about you?
Yeah, you know, it didn't work out this. It wasn't planned this way, but as it turns out, I've been doing. I think I've told you. I don't know if I've said it on the air, but I've had some massive house renovations due to some poor, shoddy work that was done on my house, and it's led from one room to the next, to the next, to the next. And wouldn't you know it, Chris, my measly, tiny little 65-inch flat screen TV just isn't cutting it anymore. So tomorrow, as of this recording, an 85-inch monster ass TV will be delivered to my house, and I don't even know what to do with it. Like I chalked it on the wall that it's going to go on, and I'm like, this is now the wall. Like never in a million years did I think I'd have a TV that big. It might be too big. Like I never thought I'd say that about a television, but I'm like, this might be insanely just over the top above my fireplace. But I am going to be watching the game, the Super Bowl against the Chiefs and the 49ers on a big, massive 85-inch crystal clear, brand new Samsung television.
You're going to be like, hurting your neck to look from one side of the TV to the other. I mean it can't be too big, Sam. Like, come on, like, think about us as kids, man. Like, I remember watching a little just small box with like fold out speakers,
right?
And I thought the fucking graphics were amazing, like Game Day 98 with Terrell Davis on the cover, or Jerome Bettis, whoever it was that year. And I thought it was like the greatest graphics and biggest TV I've ever seen, and here we are, and we're like, 85 inches is too big. Like, come on, it's fine.
No, I mean, as a kid, I mean, you mentioned a football game from 98 in terms of video games. The reason I got so good at Super Mario Brothers, my older sister and I, is because the TV was so small and it was black and white that if he shrunk to regular Mario size, we could not see him on the screen. So we knew how to get to that first mushroom, and then we just rode that mushroom all the way to Koopa's castle eight levels later, because if he got too small, you're like, I don't even know what I'm looking at. There's a fly on the screen. So, yeah,
That's what she said.
Yeah, there you go. See, dick jokes. 3 minutes in, Chris. 3 minutes in, and we haven't even given our sponsor their proper due, because it's playoff time, and the usual suspects are heading to Vegas for the championship. That's right. They're already there. San Francisco 49ers, Kansas City Chiefs, and our partner BetOnline is the number one source for football odds, stats, trends, and lines. With everything from point spreads to hundreds of bets on everything from the coin toss down to the color of the Gatorade. BetOnline is the number one source for your championship wagering. Head to BetOnline today and join to get in on all the action. BetOnline, the game starts here. And Chris, let's start. We're talking about, we're breaking down, we're deconstructing the Miami Dolphins here. Our offseason started a little bit sooner than the Chiefs and the 49ers, as you know, as you alluded to. But last week, we talked about the defense. We talked about Vic Fangio leaving, what we were looking for in a defensive coordinator coming back. We went through the candidates. We talked about the different position players and who we wanted to see back. And wouldn't you know it, just like you, over 2 years ago, slamming the table for Mike McDaniel when I wanted a big fat guy coach. You were like, no, Mike McDaniel, the nerd, is the guy that we want. And that's ultimately who we got. Last week on this very show, Chris, you said Anthony Weaver's my guy. That was your guy. We went through all the different prospects, all the different people that we were talking to. You had people like Leslie Frazier, who've been head coaches before. We had, you know, Mr. Staley out there, who's been a defensive coordinator of the number one defense in the past and looking for to redeem his name. And you said, no, I want Anthony Weaver from the Baltimore Ravens. And about a day or two after that, Chris, it is announced by Mike McDaniel, the Miami Dolphins, that Anthony Weaver is in fact the new defensive coordinator and a leader of men. There was a post put out there by Mike McDaniel who maybe give it a shot at the old Vic Fangio. But how are you feeling today with Anthony Weaver, your guy, man, that you said this is what's going to happen. It needs to happen after it happened.
That's why they paid me the big bucks, Sam, and I'm a two-time Hall of Famer and PhD doctor. I just know my shit, and I get a feeling I feel it. And Anthony Weaver, former player, coach prior with Mike McDaniel, complete different from Vic Fangio that's going to come in here with like a little bit young blood, former player, coming from an organization that just knows defense, knows excellence, and that's somebody that's going to come in and I think is going to be a huge help to our defense. So how am I feeling? Well, I mean, I called it, so I'm feeling really good. But yeah, I'm feeling great. I think it's a great hire, all things considered. Parted ways mutually with Vic Fangio, and now we've got a guy coming in that I called last week, and I feel good about it because I really think he's going to help our defense. We just got to give him the parts, man.
Yeah, I mean, he's building his staff. Joe Barry, who a lot of people really don't like, is going to be one of his linebacker coaches. We actually just got another guy, I think, from the Houston Texans, who's going to be handling the inside linebackers, or maybe have that backwards. You know, as part of this, Anthony Campanile, who was also a finalist, one of the guys that we talked about last week, who had survived a couple of coaching changes here. We both like him. He was one of the guys, one of the defensive coaches that was able to speak on the HBO show there, Hard Knocks. He's the one who was famously giving out cakes left and right. He left. He's going to the Green Bay Packers, pretty much in the same position that he was with for the Miami Dolphins. The writing was on the wall. He had actually interviewed for the DC role on two different occasions for the Miami Dolphins, didn't get it. Clearly wasn't in the plans for the Miami Dolphins long term in terms of developing him into a defensive coordinator and maybe ultimately a head coach somewhere. He moves on. So goodbye from Perfectville to Mr. Anthony Campanile and all of his cakes. But I'm excited about Anthony Weaver too. I mean, you look at the kind of man he is. I've been watching some of the sideline tape of him and him talking to team, and it's very motivational. It's positive. It's not over the top screaming, yelling, spitting in your face, but it's very much drawing a line in the sand. One of the clips I saw, Chris, he's talking about they cannot score from here. They are not allowed to score anymore. And he's looking, and what I saw, Chris, he's looking at every single player in the eye. He's not looking over them. He's not looking, you know, hamming it up for the cameras. He's very calmly, but very firmly stating to his players, enough is enough. And from here forward, you don't let them score. I mean, it was just fantastic. I don't know what happened. They could have dropped 40 after that. I have no idea, but it was the type of coaching that I think is going to work for our types of players. You know, that's one of the things that we talked about last week is getting a coach that meshes well and communicates with Mike McDaniel, but is also going to understand what it means to be a pro football player, a pro athlete, a celebrity in South Florida, in Miami. You are going to go out. There's going to be nightclubs. There's going to be restaurants. There's going to be parties, and NFL players are going to be invited to those. Anthony Weaver was an NFL player. He was a guy who had that spotlight on him as a second round pick, a pretty high draft pick overall, but he's also got the coaching experience. And now he's coming here. I think he's going to be able to connect with these players and do what Vic Fangio couldn't, which is earn and keep their respect and not demand it and command it without ever having proved himself. I think he knows, you know, look, I'm coming into a new situation. I'm the new guy and I'm going to have to make this work. So I like it. I'm excited about it. I think the more that I thought about it after our episode last week and talking about him, I was on board with what you said. Anthony Weaver's the guy. So congratulations to Mr. Weaver. Congratulations to Mr. Cullen, Dr. Cullen, for calling this. What do you make of the other hires, Joe Barry and the other guy whose name I can't think of?
Well, first, let me go back to a little bit what you said about, you know, he wasn't chewing guys out on the sideline, things like that. Listen, don't get it twisted out there in Perfectville. Sam and I aren't clamoring to get a coach that's going to be kissing ass and like, no. Oh, good job, guys. I'm sorry. Sorry you made a mistake. You're going to get them next time, buddy. But there's a fine line between just chewing somebody out, the old Belichick way, the Flores way that just doesn't resonate with players these days. These guys are professionals. They come off the field after making a mistake. They know they made a mistake. How do you calm them down? Get them ready for the next play. Riling them up and talking a bunch of bullshit is going to do nothing to help a 24, 25-year-old young man right now that's out there already stressing, already thinking about a million other things as far as just like scheme and film and lineups and positioning of the offense. The last thing they need is some old, grumpy old man, you know, who's got a diaper on yelling at him, telling him that should have been cover three instead of quarters and this and that. I mean, like we're not saying you need to coddle him. We're just saying that sometimes you just need a voice of reason, a coach right. That can get me to be in a right place to make a play with my professional abilities. You don't need to be chewing him out. You don't need to call him a piece of shit. You don't need to sit him down somebody's bench, but you're also not kissing his ass. And Anthony Weaver, based on what I saw too, from his conversation with these players on the sideline, he demanded respect, but he also talk to them like men and set them up in the right position to be successful. And that's what we're needing for our coach.
Yeah. And I mean, if you read the Twitter or the X or whatever you want to call it, or you look at the other social medias and all the different pundits out there, what does this mean from a scheme standpoint? We're going to talk about special teams here today. That is the bulk of what this show is here today, but we can't let this go by because this is probably going to be the biggest hire or acquisition that the Miami Dolphins have other than draft picks. This offseason here, Chris, given everything that we know about the cap. But, you know, we know that we talked about there's going to need to be a decision made with the safeties, right? We know Javon Holland's most likely going to be there. Is it going to be Deshaun Elliott? Is it going to be Brandon Jones? Is it going to be somebody else? Is it going to be a draft pick? Who's going to fill that other spot as the primary other safety on the field when they're running with two safeties? And it does a lot of people, including Jason Sarney, shout out to Jason Sarney, says, you know, the defense that Anthony Weaver is going to run his schemes means that Brandon Jones might be the guy to pair back with Javon Holland. So
I like that pairing.
Yeah. Maybe we're getting some answers. I mean, Brandon Jones is very good against the run. He blitzes very well off the edge when he's, having to do that. He's a solid tackler. He's not the best in coverage. So if that's what we're going to see, we're going to start seeing more single high safeties and bringing him down and acting as an extra linebacker on some of these types of schemes and coverages. And if it works, fantastic. Also, you know, Andrew Van Ginkel came out today, Chris, and he's a guy that Vic Fangio famously said, come back. You are going to be my guy in my scheme. And Andrew Van Ginkel came out today and said, I want to stay in Miami. It's been great for us for 5 years, whatever it's been. I want to be here long time. So he's not exactly necessarily looking to go anywhere else. He's obviously going to go and make the business decision that makes the most sense for him and his family. But it's encouraging that these hires at the Anthony Weaver and his staff aren't turning our incumbents off and saying, you know, getting that language like, we'll see what happens. It's been a great time, but you know, the future is the future. This is a business, all that player speak. We're not hearing that from people that we have identified as wanting to come back. Also keep in mind, there's a certain linebacker who played for the Baltimore Ravens as I believe an undrafted free agent who is kind of young. He's about 24 years old, named Patrick Queen, who is going to be available. And you don't have to ask if he's a scheme fit or not, because the new defensive coordinator for the Miami Dolphins was the linebackers coach and assistant head coach, if I'm not mistaken, for the Baltimore Ravens. Maybe it was D-line. I don't remember. But the point is, he's familiar with Patrick Queen. Patrick Queen had a lot of success in that Baltimore Ravens defense. I don't know how we would ever afford him, Chris. It's a pipe dream at this point. But I wouldn't necessarily say that it's off the table, given Anthony Weaver's respect, given the success he's had in that role up in Baltimore, and given the possibilities of Patrick Queen coming down here and automatically becoming the best linebacker on this team the day he would sign.
Ever since we traded for Tyreek Hill, I'll never say we're not going to do something and make something work. Screw if he wants it, or if Weaver comes up to him and says, go get this guy, this is the one guy I need this offseason, then go do it. It hurts an AFC opponent, and it makes us significantly better in a position of need. Going back to another linebacker that you mentioned, I heard the name Andrew Van Ginkle, but I think you mean Hugh Wang, because that's who I want back for the Dolphins, is big old Hugh Wang, the PS4 name of the aforementioned Andrew Van Ginkle.
He mentioned that he immediately was like, I'm not the original. This guy, Calvin Munson, was his account that he let out Andrew Van Ginkle use. And then when Calvin Munson was re-signed from the Giants practice squad to our team, because we back to our team, Andrew Van Ginkle came out and said the original Hugh Wang account holder is back on the team. So I believe Hugh Wang might be Calvin Munson. We might have a Hugh Wang imposter with Andrew Van Ginkle.
Well, I'm not going to, really fight too hard to find out the truth. So, moving on to back to Patrick Queen.
You know, it's funny. We're breaking down the special teams side of our business here today. But I was like, we signed another coach, and I can't think of his name, but I know the exact history of Hugh Wang and who the exact Hugh Wang is. It's Calvin
fucking
Munson.
That's a perfect bill in a nutshell for anyone listening right now that are like, what are some analytics or whatever? Come here. Because we know all about Hugh Wang.
Yes.
And all about, that's what she said jokes 3 minutes into a show. But if you ask us, the coach that was signed 84 hours ago, no fucking idea.
No,
and by the way, we're 15 minutes into a special teams episode has named zero special teams people, because no one cares about special teams besides Dan Rizzi. Like, no one cares.
Darren Rizzi. So you don't even know his name.
Exactly. My point. Exactly.
Well,
two-timer right here.
You know who doesn't care about special teams are the Miami Dolphins, and they proved it this year, Chris. Look, last year I do distinctly remember talking about Danny Crossman's got to be fired, right? The special teams coach, like, he's got to be fired. And Mike McDaniel's like, no, we're not going to fire him. We're going to fire the offensive line coach that I just got, and I'm going to fire my defensive coordinator again. But Danny Crossman somehow gets a pass, and we said, okay, well, Mike McDaniel seems to know what he's talking about. Maybe something good will happen. And as the famous Louis C.K. line goes, why the fuck would anything good ever happen? Because nothing good happened here. Kick returns allowed on average, the Miami Dolphins rank 32nd. There's 32 teams in the league. They can't get any worse.
I didn't know how many teams there were. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So punt return allowed average 12.2 yards. That's good for 28th. Now, obviously, you also have other parts, right? Punt return yards. We were 12th, middle of the road. Kick return yards, we were 9th, so we were top 10. I give a lot of credit to Braxton Berrios because of what he was able to do, get shifty, make yards happen that weren't going to be there. Well, guess what? Braxton Berrios has pretty much already said goodbye to the Miami Dolphins and goodbye to Perfectville. So you're going to have to replace him, number one. Your kick return coverage and your punt return coverage, garbage. 32nd, 28th. I think overall, we are 31st overall when you add all that up. That's on Danny Crossman. That's on not good coaching, not good schemes, maybe not good players. And oh, by the way, it gets worse. So in case you weren't feeling bad enough, and you want to slip both wrists together, let's take a look at Jake Bailey. Jake Bailey is the punter, and he averaged a net of 45 yards or so. And you're like, okay, not the worst in the world, but pretty close. That's good for 28th overall. And he had a contract. He's a free agent. He's probably not coming back, but that's good for 28th out of 32 punters. Chris, the only saving grace that we had for special teams this season was Braxton Berrios, who's a free agent, and Jason Sanders, of all things, who really kicked us into the playoffs against the Dallas Cowboys, but doesn't seem like he gives us a lot of confidence in the kicking game, especially once you get beyond 45 yards on field goals. We gave up some back-breaking punt returns, including one to the Buffalo Bills, which was a Buffalo Bills record for a touchdown at, 92 yards that last week of the season. Chris,
oh my God.
Special teams is extremely special. I'm talking short bus special.
Timmer.
The Miami Dolphins. So where do we even start? I mean, I guess we're starting at the bottom based on everything I just talked about. But number one, Danny Crossman should not be here. Are we in agreement with that? He should be the coach 100%. That we are replacing. Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
cross him off the list.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you said Dan Rizzi, Darren Rizzi. I don't care. Any sort of Rizzi. Rizzi's daughter, if he has one, like bring one of the Rizzis in and let them try. I mean, the Miami Dolphins have had pretty good special teams coaches over the years and then followed it with like decades of crap. And I just don't understand why this part of our team is forgotten about. It's not as important as defense. It's certainly not important as offense, especially in an offensive minded league, but it's important. And it seems to be an afterthought for Mike McDaniel and Danny Crossman and everybody else. I would like to see them figure out how to at least get off the bottom of the barrel, Chris, middle of the road. And you probably have another win to your name. And you know what another win would have been for the Miami Dolphins? That would have been a division title. That would have been a home game in the playoffs. That would have been possibly a different outcome for the playoffs altogether. It's that important. It's not important until it's important. And right now, to me, it's important.
So I've never been a big proponent of special teams. Not that it doesn't matter. I just can't stand specialists in football because you look at these guys with these huge sleeves and they're like toothpick arms and they get to literally put on their profiles and tell people at bars that they're, quote, a professional football player. No. First of all, you kick a ball. Like, that's your job. That's it. You got one job. You kick a ball. Any kicker that misses anything, like that kicker for Buffalo, should be hung by a bridge, the highest bridge in Buffalo, or thrown down Niagara Falls. Like, complete Badgley is his name. Like, he puts in Badgley. Come on. You've got one job. One. You do. That's all you do the entire time. All practice. You don't run. You don't go to like a nutritionist. You don't like lift and get huge and gain weight. You don't like suffer Achilles tendons unless you're the Grammaticas. And like these football players, like a Von Miller that like tore his ACL, beat his wife, you know, worked hard, came back from the, you know, in the offseason to get better. And his whole playoffs are ruined because fucking Badgley can't do his one thing he's paid to do, which is kick a fucking ball between two yellow posts. Like, I can't stand special. So you ask me what I want us to do. I want us to cut everybody except Jason Sanders. And he has a 1-5, bring in 5 undrafted kickers, maybe draft a kicker, and have a competition. Whoever has the best 10 kicks or whatever from 50, 45 plus makes the team. And if it's not Jason Sanders, you fucking send them packing. I'm sick of special teams being such ass for this team. You mentioned it, Sam. We've usually always had a good special team, but we didn't have a good offense and we didn't have a good defense. So now we finally flip it. We have a good offense, have a decent defense. Our special team sucks. Like, we can't get anything right ever. Like Louis C.K. said, like you said, fucking everything would be fucked up. Of course it is. Of course it is.
Well, with all due apology, all due respect to Michael Badgley, it was Tyler Bass, who I think you're thinking of as the Buffalo Bills kicker.
So sorry, Badgley.
Badgley,
I put the ass in Bass.
Yeah, I really believe you just said that he should be tarred and feathered in the town square. It's the wrong guy. I mean, your witch hunt was just amazing right there. I wanted to like stop you, but at the same time, not. Second of all, I like that. We're not Buffalo Bills fans, right? So I'm actually really glad that he missed those, because I think we should put a statue of Tyler Bass, or at least the football, you know, veering off to the right, out in front of you know, Pro Player Stadium there. But I'm showing my age. But my favorite part of that entire thing is Von Miller was the guy you were trying to get sympathy for. He worked hard. He came back.
Saying, like the professional athlete. Nameless professional athlete. Fine. The work that they put in off season and in season. And then this guy just goes, well, I'm going to make this kick. And he fucking misses it. And you're like, my season's over because of that fucking guy? Like, really? Really?
Man. Yeah, somewhere there's got some guy who's misinformed who's like a Bills fan listening to this, like, gonna drive to Michael Badgley's house. He's like, I play for the Colts. What do you want? all right. Well, look,
he's a doctor.
He must know what he's talking about. Man,
clearly not.
I love Perfectville. I love it. I love it here. It's warm here.
You know what's funny too, Sam? Like, honestly, I just went on that rant. I have not drank all week. I'm drinking a seltzer water. I'm just trying to, you know, clean up. Drain out a little bit from football season. So I'm just clear-minded right now, and I'm just going off on special teams and kickers. This is all shit that I used to suppress with beer during these shows, and now I'm just ready to just go.
You are fired up. I mean, how many bubbles are in that seltzer water right now? I wonder. The mind wonders, Chris.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
All right, well, let's talk about it. Look, we both agree that Danny Crossman should be crossed off the list, as you said. Very well done. But I don't know who replaces him. I'm not an expert when it comes to special teams coaches, so I guess he's going to stay.
Anybody, somebody?
Yeah, I would just like to say that, I think he should be fired. And Mike McDaniel, I know you listen to this show. I know the writers for Bill Maher listen to this show.
Mike.
Yeah, I just, if you could get word out, I mean, maybe have Butch Berry, your offensive line hire, who we made fun of last year, and he actually turned out to be a pretty good hire. Maybe he can write one of them famous post-it notes and put it on the door of Danny Crossman's room and just say, you're fired, courtesy MM. That would be fine. I don't care how you do it, but Danny Crossman has proven over the last couple of years that he doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, we're dead last in kickoff return. How many kickoff returns are there in football? I mean,
all the rule changes they've made.
Like before the ball's even kicked, you see the returners like, yeah, fair catch, whatever, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, and we're giving up 30 yards. Like, that means a couple things. A, Jason Sanders isn't kicking it far enough. And B, maybe we're just caught off guard. Like, the players, like, they just ran to the sidelines. Like, oh, there's going to be another fair. Oh, what? Well, oh my gosh, he's running. Let's go tackle him. But you can't be 28th in punt return coverage and 32nd in kickoff return coverage and keep your job. I mean, really, you're a specialty coach. You should be focused on that, and you're not. Like, I don't know. I just,
yeah. Since when are we not judged by like the statistics of our coaching and our performance? Like, if I went into work and just gave fucking last place performance for seasons on end, like, there's no way I'm sitting here employed, dude.
No.
And they do know, like, Mike McDaniel, if you are listening, you do know we want to be 32nd. In draft picks, right?
Yes.
Where the not 32nd in special teams, just clearing that up, just in case you didn't know. I know you're on into year three. We want to be 32nd in the draft, not in, you know, yeah, statistical categories for our special teams.
We want to be so good that we're 32nd on, you know, in draft picks, and we're drafting special teams players because we have no holes everywhere else. I mean, that would be ideal, but like, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, why is Danny Crossman getting a pass when we have our passer, Tua Tagovailoa, who's number one in the league in passing yardage, and people are like, well, should we replace him with Justin Fields? Or you have Tyreek Hill, and people are like, well, is he a liability? Like, and then you have Vic Fangio, who admittedly needed to go. We all know that. But like, he turned the defense, like we talked about last week, the defense turned around. It was good statistically, and people are like, yeah, get rid of him. But Danny Crossman are like, oh, let's see what he does next year.
And then, like you mentioned, two people being like actual bright spots of the special teams. I guess we're getting rid of one, Braxton Berrios. Like, really? That's the answer, is getting rid of the guy that gave us good kick return yards? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, so Braxton Berrios basically came out after the season and thanked Miami for the wonderful season. And it seemed very much like, I'm moving on to something else. And I'm assuming he had an exit interview, like most players do, at the end of the season. And he was given indications that he probably wasn't going to be used beyond what he was, which was a special teams player. And he probably gave indications that I'm looking to be something more on offense. And we're going to talk about offense on the next episode of Perfectville.
Yeah, surprised he wasn't more used more, Sam, in the slot. Really, I am. More next episode. But
yeah, and I think that's probably why the tweet or the X or whatever, the posts that he put on social media gave the vibe of, I'm not coming back, but thank you very much for letting me come back to my hometown. And I appreciated it, and I loved it, and I'm moving on with my career. So yeah, Braxton Berrios, I believe, is choosing, since he had a 1-year contract, that I'm going to go test the market and see if my talents can be used elsewhere and more often. And I don't blame him. He was the only bright spot on special teams, and we probably should have used him more often elsewhere. But let's go into that. Braxton Berrios, assuming he doesn't come back, he is your punt returner, he is your kick returner. What do the Miami Dolphins do, Chris?
I don't know. Danny Crossman's in my ear. That was his answer. Sorry.
Oh, gotcha. Know. Yeah. Yeah. Now, for those that aren't watching, Chris Cullen has an earpiece in his ear, and he's talking to Danny Crossman right now. And Danny Crossman said, I don't know what to do.
Danny, shut the fuck up. I got it from here. I got it. Thank you. Is Kenyon Drake available?
I mean, Kenyon Drake is available every other week. That guy has played for just about every single, like, he played for us for like 3 years. We're like, okay, I guess, you know, now he's like, every week it's like a different emoji. And it's like a little, like, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego, but with Kenyon Drake, because it's a different, like, subtweet of where he's going next. Like, he posted the pictures of purple and I was like, he's going to the Vikings. He went to the Ravens, and then he's on the Jets, and then he went to Alabama and Cardinals, played in a game for them. I mean, you know, like, who the hell knows where Kenny is? So yes, he's probably available, if I'm being honest. I mean, let me ask you this though. Speaking of running backs, could Devon Achan do it? I mean, he's fast, he's shifty. I mean, do you put him back there and let him try to return kicks? I mean, is that, I know you don't want to put him back there and risk injury, but he feels like he'd be good at it.
Yeah, no, I would definitely give it a shot for sure. Just because of his speed, and vision. Obviously, he has really good vision. You show that. I would just, like you said, Mostert's another year older. Wilson's another year older. And I don't know if I want to put him out there getting, you know, some practice squad guy trying to make his name in the NFL, ear holing him, you know, when he doesn't see him. So, but if you're faster than the other guy and you juke the other guy, you don't get hit. So I'm definitely, that's on the list for sure.
I don't know. I always go back and I think about what Tim Brown did, the great Tim Brown, Hall of Famer Tim Brown, for the Oakland, Los Angeles, Las Vegas Raiders, as well as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And this dude was a wide receiver one for like a decade and a half. And he also returned punts like in every game. He's like, just give me the ball. I'll go do that. I don't know. It's probably going to be somebody that they sign, you know, as a special teams player who can maybe possibly contribute a little bit on offense that they'll put back in that role. Maybe it's a late draft pick that they put in there and go, hey, this guy's got a lot of speed. He could return kicks. That's going to be, you know, how we utilize this person. But I don't know, just right now looking at the roster, if Braxton Berrios isn't there, Devon Achan seems like the kind of guy that, like, if you can find a seam or he can create a seam, you're not going to catch him. If he gets out into the open field, he's going to be gone. Why not at least take a look at him? But he's also a guy that we're going to be relying heavily on offense. And if he gets hurt on special teams, you're going to get a lot of people throwing pitchforks at Mike McDaniel and Danny Crossman for utilizing him in that regard. So I understand why they wouldn't necessarily want to do that, but I don't know. Just a thought.
I like the thought. It's the only one I had, and it's only because you said it. So it's probably, like you said, it's going to be somebody from college that we draft, undrafted guy, something like that. Free agent that we bring in that somebody cuts at the end of training camp, something like that. But it's got to be somebody that we don't know about yet.
Yeah, and let me ask you about Jake Bailey. So we talked a little bit about him. He did not do wonderful. He did better this year than he did last year, or his last year with the New England Patriots, where he was coming off of an injury. But prior to that injury, he was averaging 47, 48, 49 yards per punt. He came in at 45 and change this year, which is still below his overall average. The eyeball test wasn't very good to Jake Bailey. I was promoting this guy when he came in because I saw what he did with the New England Patriots prior to his injury and thought, well, if he's fully healthy from this and he doesn't like the New England Patriots, he kind of flat out said he hated them, he's going to have a rebound season. And I just don't think he did. He didn't. He seemed to, his kicks didn't really have a lot of hang time, which I think is exactly why the Buffalo Bills were able to return that one for a punt for a touchdown for the last game of the season. He didn't allow his team to get down there and really, you know, stop the punt returner and or get to the ball before it would, of course, squibble into the end zone for a touchback. He did have about 20 punts inside the 20, but I don't know. The eyeball test wasn't very good to Jake Bailey. He was on a one-year contract. I think it's going to be a handshake. Thank you for your contributions for the season. Good luck to you. And we're going to go in another direction. I mean, what does your gut tell you about Mr. Jake Bailey?
If I have a dime for every games that I want to see Jake Bailey punt in next year for the Miami Dolphins, I'd have no dimes. I want no dimes. I don't want to see Jake Bailey in a Miami Dolphins uniform. I don't want to see him in Miami Gardens. I don't want to see him in the state of Florida, Sam. If he's in the state of Florida, Bugs Bunny, saw that shit off, I want him gone. Jake Bailey was the worst punter I have seen since Matt Turk, or before Matt Turk. I mean, this guy was terrible. Every fucking kick went off the side of his fucking foot. Every kick, the crowd groaned at home. Like, this guy never put it in the air more than 2 fucking seconds. My goddamn, Jesus Christ, dude. Jake Bailey, are you kidding me? If we sign this guy back and we don't just get some college punter or something, like, I'm done. I got 20 rugby kids that can kick a fucking ball right now and average 45 yards a fucking punt. Like, that was fucking ridiculous. Like, that guy, get him off. I'm done. I don't want him anywhere near. Fuck the eyeball test. The guy's a terrible punter. I don't want him on the team.
Well, let me ask you this then, because you said any college punter, you wouldn't waste a draft pick, right? You're talking an undrafted free agent punter who made his way through the seven rounds, or a street free agent. I mean, that's kind of what you're thinking, right? In terms of bring anybody else in and let them just have a competition, bring two, three punters in and see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what you use the preseason for. You like throw one out each quarter, and whoever coffin corner punts one perfectly or gets the best hang time, that's who you roll with. I mean, like, again, you got one job. You've been doing this since middle school, high school. You catch a ball, you take a few steps, you drop it, you kick it in the air. Like, fucking hell, it's not that hard. Like, if that's all you work on, if you gave me one thing, Sam, and you're like, play GTA and beat it. That's all you have to do. I'll pay you for it. It's all you work on day in, day out. If I'm not the best fucking GTA player in the fucking world, like, then there's something wrong with me. Like, it's that's all you do. You don't run. You don't throw. You don't catch. You don't learn route trees. You don't learn the playbook. You catch the ball. You drop it to your foot and you kick in the air. Like, that's it. Like, go get Pat McAfee. I'll sign him. Bring him on.
You mentioned the video games and being good at it. I actually was a video game tester in a previous life when I was a teenager, and it sounded like an amazing gig, except for the fact that you have to play the game and one game all the way through, and then you have to play it all the way through while trying to test bugs and make sure that, you know, stuff isn't broken, and then you have to document it, and then you have to play it again through all the way and try these different ways. And it's cool if you get like Grand Theft Auto, but if you get like a little kid game with like annoying sound effects, like, you just want to blow your brains out. Trust me, it's not a good gig. It doesn't pay well.
Terrible.
So let me ask you this. I'm going to throw this out there. I don't know where he is in the standing right now. But the punt god that the Buffalo Bills drafted last year, Matt Ariza out of San Diego, was cut, and rightfully so, given all of his legal troubles, but he's been exonerated. And I believe it has come out, I could be wrong on this, somebody correct me, but it's come out that he didn't do the things that he was possibly accused of, or not possibly accused of, what he was. And I'm going to preface this. I could be very wrong on this. I could have this completely wrong. So if I do, somebody say you're wrong, and I'm going to completely walk this back. But from a talent perspective, very good punter. I know he still wants to play. Would you risk a potential PR backlash and go after somebody like Matt Ariza or whatever, knowing what is in his history? Or would you leave it alone, which I'm going to choose to do based on, I think you're doing research as I talk like this. Maybe I wouldn't. I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe it's a street. I'm just throwing a name out there. I don't know. Is it too soon, even if he was exonerated, to go down that path?
Do I think a man that was falsely accused of something he didn't do, and he was had his life ruined for it, shouldn't get a second chance? Absolutely not. Especially if it's proven that he was exonerated. Like, the civil suit was dropped, the criminal suit was dropped. He's got a clean slate, Sam. But here's the thing. What I'm not going to tell you is that I want to risk any backlash or social media stuff for a fucking punter. You want to talk about the best receiver in the world, or the running back that's getting almost 2,000 yards rushing, best quarterback in the generation? I'll think about it. But if I'm talking about, like, maybe having somebody picketing outside of Miami Gardens or Dolphin Stadium getting, like, you know, no trespassing, or, you know, people like picketing for a punter, no. Like, that's just like, not what for 5 yards extra per punt. Like, no, not doing it.
It's 6 yards, we'll consider it, but 5, absolutely not. You know, it's interesting too, because, like, as I was saying it, I'm like, oh my god, like, BetOnline's gonna, the gambling site that's been sponsoring our show for 5 years is gonna be, they're like leaning in right now, like, what is he about to fucking say? But no, I agree. I forgot he was a punter. Fuck me. I'm stupid. Yeah. No.
And that's why we do this together. If this was just you, like, who knows where you would have just snowballed, but that's why I'm here to grab your shirt, to pull you back from the ledge. Let's stay grounded. The punt god can go be a punt god in Arizona, but not in Miami. Like, sorry, you're a punter.
Yeah. No, now watch him sign with the Jets, and we'll have him pinned on the 1 yard line. He just boots the ball 80 yards, and we're like, son of a bitch, we could have had that guy. Yeah, well, all right.
Juice is worth the squeeze.
Here's what we agree upon so far. Danny Crossman, the special teams coach, should be fired. Jake Bailey, the punter, should not come back. the one good guy that we had, Braxton Berrios, our kick and punt returner, decided to leave.
Yay.
Somehow we got to get better. And I'm not quite sure that we've figured that out yet, Chris. So the Miami Dolphins have to figure out their kick returner. They have to figure out their punt returner. They're going to have to figure out their punter. Jason Sanders, I think, may have saved his job with that Dallas Cowboys affair where he kicked 5 field goals, 3 of them from 50 plus, and basically got us into, yeah, he did the whole 5 Kobe Bryant thing, which on Kobe Bryant day is very appropriate, 2-8-24. But do you know that, Chris? Do you know today is Kobe
Bryant? That was the first time I heard that. That's great. Yeah.
No. So his daughter who passed away with him, her number was 2. And then of course Kobe Bryant was
8 and 24.
Number 8 and 24. So February 8th.
That's fantastic. Wow.
Yeah. 2-8-24. They're actually, I think, unveiling the statue today in Lakerland. But the point of this is, what is my point, Chris? Oh, so Jason Sanders, he's a middle of the road like kicker. And I looked at his salary. He's kind of a middle of the road salary. I mean, at the time when he made his bones a couple of years ago, he was one of the highest paid kickers, but a lot of people have come over the top of him. So I'm sort of rethinking this. I was thinking, man, you got to cut him because the juice isn't worth the squeeze with regards to the money. And that still may very well be true if you aren't comparing him against other kickers. But if you're just looking at it like, hey, we need to save money and we're going to have to just do a discount, you know, dive and go get Michael Badgley or something like that, then possibly you have to cut Jason Sanders to save some money against the salary cap. But I don't know. I mean, I think Jason Sanders redeemed himself in the eyes of most with that Dallas Cowboys performance. What say you?
I mean, as long as he has a good camp and preseason, I mean, last year was last year. The season's over, buddy. Like, what can you do for us this year? We're looking to get further in the playoffs. And if he's not good and we can find better, do it. That's a position you can do that at. And I'm not married to Jason Sanders. Thank you for the Dallas game, I guess. Thank you for doing your job. But he's also had some brutal misses that just completely broke our backs. So, like you said, middle of the road pay, middle of the road kicker. You also mentioned, and I quote, others have come all over him. So always listen to that back. Yeah, I sure did. Race will be like, oh, finally, Chris called him out. Hopefully not. Hopefully for Jason's wife's sake, that didn't happen. But yeah, middle of the road kicker. That sounds fair. So like, if you can bring in somebody better, do it. And if not, just ride with Jason Sanders and maybe get better than a middle of the road kicker for the rest of the for 2024.
Yeah, you wonder, like, you know, when you play golf and you hit the tee and you hit from the tee box and the ball doesn't go past the ladies' tee, you got to tee back up with your pants pulled down, right? Like that's kind of the rule. You think when you miss a crucial kick, the rest of the team just gets to come all over you? Like that's like, oh, whip it out, boys. He missed the 35 yarder chip shot. Right on the throat. Get him.
Christian Wilkins, just no, they're not even at his ankles. He's just completely, you know, Winnie the Poohing it.
It'd be funny if, like, as a joke, they sprayed to the left or the right of him every single time. Like he had to like put his hands up and they just had to try to shoot the jizz in between his hands. Like this
what is that, Jason?
Right? Jesus.
Zach Steeler's like, let me get in on this.
You think like this is a deal breaker for Christian Wilkins? Like, well, I mean, the Ravens are offering more money, but I really like Jizzy.
Come on, Justin Tucker. Yeah, Justin Tucker never misses. This is so fun.
I can't. It's boring. I just got to come into a tissue like everyone else is bullshit.
So now my bookie stayed, and now they're gone. They stayed after the raping punter, but now they're totally gone. We're done.
Chris, my bookie's been gone for 5 years. Bet online, AG. Wrong gambling site, man.
Holy shit. I'm done. I guess I'm done. See you guys.
Good show. Oh, God. I can't wait for the show next week with Casey Brock instead of Chris Colin because I got to fire Chris.
Fuck that guy. No way. I love Casey, but no.
I'm kidding. Travis or bust. All right. So, I'm kidding. Nobody can do this but Chris. No one else is going to talk about jizzing on the kicker and just run with it the way Chris is. So he's safe. Job security. All right. So, you know, Jason Sanders maybe walking on eggshells a little bit, especially with all that cum all over him. But you know, how do you fix, I guess, the last part of this, Chris? Well, okay, two parts. God, we're spending so much time on special teams. I'm kind of annoyed. You know what? This is why we suck at special teams, because this is what the coaches do. Like, my dad's like, 30 minutes on fucking special. Who cares? Just you. What's your name? Danny? You're the coach. Sure, why not? Any issues with the long snapper? What, Ferguson, whatever his name is. Reed? Yeah. No, what's his name?
Yeah, Reed Ferguson, brothers in the league as well. I played at LSU. Yeah. We replaced our boy Jabril, not Jabril Peppers, but wasn't it Pepper? Who? What was his name?
It was Tabor Pepper, yeah.
Okay, Tabor, sorry.
Who's Jabril. In the Super Bowl, by the way. He's in the,
yeah,
he's in the Super
Bowl. Yeah, he sure is. And I think we had an agreement for him to be on the show, and then that didn't happen.
Do you remember? Yeah, do you know why that didn't happen? I don't know if we've told this story.
He got a tryout or something when he wasn't supposed to. Yeah, like something out
he
of
got
the
a tryout
right?
with the 49ers who he's with right now. So we had scheduled and we were setting up to record, and Tabor Pepper was going to be on the show with you and I. And he called last second, said, "Hey, I'm on a plane. I'm going to get a tryout with the Niners." And we're like, "Okay, well, good luck."
Super cool of him to call, by the way. You could have totally been like, "Fuck those guys."
Yeah. And he's like, "All right, I'll, you know, it probably won't go anywhere. I'll be on next week." And then here he is in the Super Bowl 3 years later. It's like,
good for him. We're the good luck charm.
Yeah, I. You know what? We should get a ring. If the Niners win, you and I get a ring.
We get a
ring. That's fair.
And if we don't, that's fair. What is we get to come on them.
Yeah. On Jason Sanders, though.
He's like, what did I do?
Yeah. No, well, that's just Blake Ferguson. That's his name, Blake Ferguson. There you know, look, here's the thing. I think Blake Ferguson's a good long snapper. Why? Because you never really have to talk about him. You don't even remember his name because he's not messing up. You know, maybe can he be our center? Does he know how to make snaps happen to Tua Tagovailoa? Because if so, then maybe we do that. But no, Blake Ferguson, you and Braxton Berrios are the shining beacons of light for this special teams unit. So the last thing I want to talk about special teams here, Chris, the return coverage. Like I said, dead last in kick returns, 28th in punt returns. How do you fix that? What has to happen? I mean, you've coached football. What I don't even know how to start fixing that problem. What is that?
It's a depth thing, man. And it's taking care of like your backup linebackers, your backup corners and safeties. You got to get guys that are hungry and dogs that want to make a name for themselves on the team, and special teams is their chance to do it. I told kids all the time when I coached them, if you don't start, if you get an opportunity to get between those white lines, make me take you off the field. And if you're making plays, I'm not going to do that. So that's up to you. I can coach you as much as I can. But when that whistle blows, you're between the white lines. If you go out there and start fucking running around with your hair on fire, making plays, you're going to stay on the field. Any dumb coach, any smart coach would leave you on the field. Any dumb coach would pull you off and say, well, you know, you didn't earn it in practice. You did right now. You did in the game. Yeah. So you're the first person I think of when you say that is Cam Smith. And the guy's a healthy scratch. He's barely out there. Get him out there. As a gunner, send him out there to chase down a kick return. He fucking lights somebody up, or he flips somebody and forces a fumble, and he gets up all hype. The crowd goes crazy. Maybe McDaniel trust you a little bit more to play in the nickel or play in a third down situation. You know what I mean? You got to put those guys in a spot to get there and do that. Terrell Davis, fun fact, a lot of people don't know, started on special teams with the Denver Broncos and went down the field and absolutely fucking smoked somebody as like the third or fourth string running back. Ends up starting at running back somehow, but he like made a name with the fan base, with the coaching staff on making a play on special teams. And now motherfucker's a 2-time Super Bowl champion, Hall of Famer, started as a special team gunner on kickoff and like lit somebody up. You got to get someone that's hungry, like Van Ginkle in his rookie year, you know, things like that. Which I just had a flashback of Ted Ginn scoring all those kick returns and Cam Wake was randomly blocking on that kickoff team. Yeah. You remember that? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I still remember Tony Bua, who took out two Rams players at the same time with a massive block.
It was pissing blood afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, you can make a name for yourself and give yourself a little bit. I mean, that was one play. Name me one other play Tony Bua did with his short time in the NFL, 2, 3, 4 years, whatever it was. That one play, though, and here we are talking about it. He's been retired for a decade at least, and we're still like, remember when he killed those two Rams players with one hit? I mean, it could be a legacy, you know. So it's a mentality thing, right? You need folks that are okay, not only okay, but want to play special teams. They want to run down full speed and get, you know, lay somebody out, tackle somebody. Do you have a preference?
Young,
of
hungry. You gotta have somebody young and hungry.
Offense or defensive players? Okay. I think we fixed it. Good.
Yeah, I mean, it really doesn't matter. Yeah, anybody that's willing to go down and do it, because There's been plenty of guys that block that were receivers on the punt team, you know, punt return team. And there's been plenty of times a receiver's gone down and made a tackle on the punt team. So really position wise, doesn't matter on special teams. I just want the best 11 that's going to go down and not be 32nd and fucking punt return yards given up.
Well, there you go. I mean, the special teams, maybe we need a little bit more of a focus this offseason. Danny Crossman lives, even though both Chris and I think he should not be the special teams coach for the Miami Dolphins. Jake Bailey, probably a one and done. I don't foresee him coming back as the punter. He was underwhelming. He did not pass the eyeball test. The stats had him towards the end. I think he was 28th overall in net punting yard average. Kickoff return, punt returns were pretty good. They were decent for the Miami Dolphins, but that's because of Braxton Berrios, who is no longer going to be here. So the Miami Dolphins have to solve that riddle. Who's going to catch the ball and run real fast towards the other end zone, whether it's kickoff or punt return? In terms of defending, nowhere to go but up. But it's got to be people that want to be there. It's got to be people that want to play special teams, that are looking to make a name for themselves, to stand out in a crowd and say, I want to play more defense or more offense, and I'm going to get noticed by making a play day in, day out on game day. And of course, Jason Sanders, you know, once he cleans himself off from all that jizz, is he going to continue to be the Miami Dolphins kicker? I mean, he's actually the most accurate kicker statistically in Miami Dolphins history, but I just, it's like Ryan Tannehill going back there, right? Like, you know, yeah, he's good. The stats are there, but like, he might throw an interception. Like, yeah, you know, exactly. Jason, you don't feel great. Yeah, you're just like holding your breath until that ball goes through the uprights, or, you know, you're taking your dick out and shooting your load on Jason Sanders. Look, I think we did it. I think we accomplished what we set out to do today, Chris, and that is to give you a deep dive, super technical, super analytical, into the world of special teams for the Miami Dolphins. Bottom line, they're not very good. They need to get better. They need better coaching. They need better players, and they need people who want to be there. Chris, anything else you want to talk about before we get out of this very sticky episode of Perfectville?
Yeah, I like how it started with a "that's what she said" joke, and you went, "Whoa, 3 minutes into it, that's what she said" joke, and then we're ending with a bukkake. So, welcome to Perfectville.
Well, that's how we just described every porn outline ever. I mean, the contents change of whether it's a pizza guy or a doctor or, you know, electrician, but yeah, it starts with a "that's what she said" and ends with a jizz. So, there you go.
Just like the office.
Well, tell us what you think. Yeah, that's what she said. All right. Well, Chris, I appreciate you as always. The two-time Hall of Famer, Dr. Christopher Cullen, as well as myself, presented by betonline.ag, at least for now. Nothing to say other than goodbye from Perfect.
Later.
Christian, no!
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.